Hello, everyone. This beautiful Tuesday evening, this is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show. And we're going to have a very wonderful time for everyone who's listening and can tune in. It's just going to be a very quiet evening talking about forgiveness and all the issues about forgiveness, because we're in a time period right now where Neptune is in Pisces, and it's going to change into Aries on January 22nd, and it's going to be far more energetic, and you'll feel like you can move faster and move more into your life. So now it's just a time of contemplation and a time of forgiveness. And what it has brought me to, I am going to discuss a little bit about the gibbous moon phase, thanks to my dearest friend Lorelei, who is in Atlanta. I've had her on the show several times. But she shares about the gibbous moon phase, which is now until tomorrow afternoon, because everyone is in our life by divine, you know, appointment, by divine contract. And sometimes, have you ever felt that you've lived a lifetime through a particularly challenging or scary experience? And I just want to tell you that when you have these kinds of experiences, because I just did a past life regression today, someone did it on me, and there have been some very particular challenging times in an earlier life that I have had, and it has brought me to such an awareness that for the last 2 days, I have gone through profound changes and healings. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we have a doctorate in healing, we still heal. I mean, if anybody ever tells you that they've reached their journey, you know, run, because life is a long time journey. And some of us go faster than others. Some of us go, you know, down a paved road. Some of us go down a bumpy road. And it doesn't matter which road you go to. It is the way that, you know, it's supposed to be. But I do want to share something with you. That this astronomers that will be pretty disappointed to learn that this date, the debate has raged through astrological communities about, you know, things are changing. You know, it's been in the last couple of days, it has been, you know, people on the internet and on radio and TV have been saying that the zodiac signs have changed. And Lorelei shares with you that that is not true. That stories like this have been circulating in the news media like wildfire for the last couple of days, but as well for years, and you know, something that happened a long time ago. And she wanted to let everyone know that the zodiac we use in Western astrology does not line up with the current placement of the constellations. And this is due to what she calls precession, which is due to the Earth's wobble. The relationship between the Earth and the stars changes over a great cycle of 26,000 years. So she just want to remind, and I want to remind everyone that, you know, that there are different kinds of astrology. Some originated in India, and they're all, you know, they're all different based on different, the spring equinox, which begins around March 21st or so. And so just, you know, let it know that you, whatever your sun sign is and all the other signs that you have, are going to be remaining the same. Your zodiac sign has not changed, and the news media is just catching up to astrologers. So I hope that clears up any confusion that anyone has on that. And during this time period, sometimes just remember, you may get a sudden urge to pick up a phone or call someone, and just know that exciting things are happening in your life. Now, I want to share some, and I do want to let you know I am taking live calls for readings, and I'd love to hear from anyone who wants to call in about discussions. If you have a question or you want to get involved with the discussion, you know I welcome that. So last week we had six or seven calls. It was great. I had three psychics on last week, myself and my dearest friend Rose from Florida, and then a young Anna from the Global Village. She goes to Global Village. But anyway, I just want to share with you, because we all, I believe I've put this in my book. I have a new book coming out this summer called Ask Spirit Now, From Lack to Love. And I have many chapters in the book, but the one that I really had to reach deep in my heart to even write, I mean, I'm not even finished writing it, right? It's the last chapter. Well, I have one more chapter after that, which, I believe it or not, I've already written. And but this is about forgiveness. And I cannot even begin to tell you how many times that we have gone, myself, excuse me, that I have gone through Radical forgivenesses, and I have gone through workshops. I have gone through every kind of forgiveness process that could be done, and I commend them all. And I feel everything that you do to start the forgiveness cycle is very, very powerful. And what I think is so amazing is that we can't blame our parents for this. We can get upset with them. We can have, situations with them, but most people don't typically have a lot of issues with their parents unless they're living with them. It doesn't mean they're living in the same house, like sharing the same kitchen. That would be probably unbearable for me personally. But if we choose our parents, then that means that we have very strong lessons for them, from them. Of course, they have lessons, you know, with us as well. And so what we need to remember is that when we start to blame in any kind of forgiveness, well, if he had not done that to me or if she had not done that to me, then this would not have happened. And that is the first step in understanding, but it is certainly not the last step in forgiveness, because as long as we're blaming, we cannot truly forgive. And I read something, and I put this in my book about forgiveness, because it's new beginnings. When we can begin to forgive, and I want to talk a little bit too as well, is how do you know that you have really forgiven? Because there was something I read recently about going full circle. And when you are forgiving someone, and let's just say it's a parent, a child, a friend, an ex-spouse, and you think you're done so well, oh my goodness, I did it. I forgave. And then all of a sudden you see them or somebody says something about them, and then you go into this rage within yourself, or you go with this upset, or you find yourself saying something that you know is not really kind to say, or you get that sick feeling in your stomach. There are many, many, many different ways that people, you know, deal with this type. So don't believe that yours is any original. And believe me, we've all probably gone through all of them at some stage of our life or some life. But Catherine Ponder said something about forgiveness that I use as one of my quotes, and she says, when you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. So I always hear about comments like, why should I have to forgive? They hurt me. I was damaged because of their actions. I suffered as a child. Forgive him, forgive her? No way. I mean, they have to come and apologize to me. I'm not going to forgive. But what's happening here is that we're creating this invisible link to them. It's almost like a synchronicity where you're so connected with them that you almost feel like they're in your life still. And I really talk a lot about childhood abuse, or it doesn't matter what kind it is that we tend to go into our adulthood with this feeling that, oh, well, we're healed, or if we even remembered it. But you wonder why you have some feelings sometimes about things. And what happens is you find that you've carried that childhood abuse or that childhood upset or that childhood trauma into your current life. So you may be in your 40s and it's still like you're being abused. You're not really being abused. You're having a wonderful life. But in those moments that get triggered, those are the moments that you know that you have more healing to do. But the key here, folks, and I really want to share this, and again, feel free to call, you know, if you have issues about this and you want to talk about it, or if you just want a reading, you know, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. I want to let you know that when you have a hard time forgiving, it's usually sometimes, now this is not always, but as a doctor of Rohan is about love and forgiveness. That's all it is. It's about going earlier in your life to find out the times that you couldn't love, and which is synonymous with forgiveness. And you know, you say, well, how in the world can I love somebody who hurt me so bad? I don't know that it's about loving them as much as it is about loving yourself enough to forgive yourself for what may have happened. And it isn't necessarily that you did anything wrong, because the last chapter of my book, it's about not feeling like it's your fault, because so many people feel like it's their fault. I mean, there's certainly ways you can look at things, but a child that has been sexually, physically, or emotionally abused, you can't sit there and say, you know, hey, it was their fault. But the child needs to be told that it wasn't their fault. And sometimes they don't get a chance to hear that until they're older. So I talk about that, but you know, it's something that Oscar Wilde said one time. He said, believe me, the quote was, I always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. Well, you know, that's funny. And I like that because it has some humor to it. And at the same time, are we really forgiving? Probably not, because we still want them to be annoyed. So that's probably not the greatest. But I did think that was really funny, because believe me, I have used them all. I mean, in trying to forgive, there's only really one person that I've ever really had to work on forgiveness this life. Isn't that amazing that we have soul contracts with, you know, some people may have 10 people they need to forgive, and some people may have 20. And what I suspect is that, you know, through my lifetime, I have forgiven most of those people, except for one that I continue to work on. But it's myself. It's forgiving myself for allowing those situations to have occurred and not recognize it. And I can understand on the first go-round why you don't recognize something, but second go-round, third go-round, it's like, whoa, 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 Victoria or Sue or John or whatever your name is. You know, here's whoever's listening tonight. Don't beat yourself up for this, because it is that awareness that, oh my goodness, you know what? This isn't just about forgiving somebody who hurt me, it's about forgiving myself for one, allowing it in. Maybe I didn't know, or two, allowing it in for the second or third time and not realizing, you know, that that was what happened. It's interesting, because forgiveness, from my viewpoint, is that it's like the key to life. I mean, you look back on those things that remind you that maybe there's still a bit more forgiveness that you still have with a person. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's just awareness. You're peeling an onion when you get into forgiveness and opening up the love, the heart chakra, which is love. You're actually basically going deeper and deeper. So when you have, let's say you've gone through a very deep level of forgiveness, and you've gone through a workshop and you have done incredible work, and someone maybe has done some, you know, biofeedback on you, and you really feel that this has begun, or, you know, it's sometimes when I've certainly been there where you say, oh, well, that's handled. But then as soon as you get back into the house, or as soon as you hear the person's voice, or as soon as you get back into the social circumstance that involves that person, it's like it was like, well, wait a minute. I know that I healed something. I know I did. I experienced it. But the truth is, you did. You actually did experience it, and you did heal. It's just that we have many, many lifetimes, and we have many forgiveness journeys with certain people. I mean, forgiveness for me is the key to life, because it helps us to live abundantly, and it helps us to have new beginnings. And then, you know, when somebody does, and this is what I think is so interesting about Christmas and going through Christmas, different holidays with our families, is because we're thinking we're doing so well in our lives, and we are. And when we go back for Christmas, and all those childhood memories get stirred up because of our, you know, an aunt or an uncle or a father or a mother or a sister or a brother or a cousin. And those times can be so traumatic. Yet those are the times, y'all, that we find out how much progress we have actually made on our forgiveness journey. So I want to keep reminding you, I may say it 20 times tonight. Remember that when you start a forgiveness journey, no matter what progress you have made, it is progress. And I want you to pat yourself on the back for that, and not beat yourself up if you get angry again, or if you get upset, or you feel a little tightness in your solar plexus, or your heart doesn't feel so good because you said, oh, I didn't do it perfectly. Well, you know what? You're not probably going to do it perfectly the whole lifetime. It may have moments. Then again, you may have a miracle healing where all of a sudden it all just goes. I mean, it just absolutely goes. You know what reminds me of that? And I love watching Oprah because she had someone on, and sorry, folks, I do not remember their names, and it doesn't really matter because the story goes that I think there was somebody that had, you know, killed their child or something. And they went to prison and they forgave him. And for that, you know not what you do. And, you know, this person was probably a hurt as a child. Who knows the circumstances? It doesn't give you an excuse to kill. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that it can be done. Now, whether that person ever came back and had issues with it, don't you think they had grief still? Of course they did. Don't you wish, you know that they wish that that had never happened, but they didn't hold the hate in their heart. And that's the only part of our past that hurts us, is holding that hate, that upset within our own bodies. Now, it's very interesting because when you get into blaming your family, blaming yourself, going through all of these mental problems or mental thoughts about, well, this happened to me, that's when it starts happening where the body doesn't work anymore. And I think this is very interesting to know. Now, there are many, many, many books that I have read. Of course, I've got all my training, well, a lot of it from Delphi, but I've had training for, gosh, I don't even want to tell you how many years. Let's see, 35, 40 years of training on this, is that when we grow up, we have this urge or this law of attraction to create the emotional environment in of our early home life. So if we had a life of happiness, we'll usually create that in our new lives. And if our fathers or mothers had issues, we'll usually create that. We can't blame our parents for it. What it is that's that like attracts like. It's what we feel comfortable in. And so what happens is when we start to really heal, and that's what, you know, Ask Spirit Now is about. Listen, y'all, I can't tell you how to forgive. I cannot even begin to tell myself how to forgive. I don't know how to do it, but I sure know Spirit helps me with it. And I will get the most miracles in my life when something's going on in my life where I can't seem to get past what do I do to actually forgive this person. I don't know how to forgive them. How do I do it? And Spirit will give me the most beautiful solution to it. It isn't always the easiest solution. And let me explain something to you about what I mean by that. Let's just say that you know that you need to forgive someone or even yourself. What doesn't matter. Let's just say you need to forgive. And someone calls you up on the phone and says some things to you, or something happens in your job or whatever happens that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's not truthful. Even if it is truthful, that's not the issue. The fact is it made you uncomfortable. And so you all of a sudden you get into this, you know, strange feeling. I'm going to call it a strange feeling because it doesn't feel like it's in joy. It doesn't feel joyous. And at that point in time, that's when we have to say, you know what, Spirit? I don't know what's happening here, but I need you to help me. I need you to help me learn how to let go of this. And that is when someone will call, someone will say something, and, you know, a miracle can happen. It may take a little longer than an instant miracle. It might take a lifetime. It might take a week. You know, it's like forgiveness doesn't always happen in a day, a week, or even a year. I mean, it takes what it takes. And we all need to learn to forgive ourselves if we can't do it all instantly. Now, if you, let's just say, I want to use an example here of someone who wants to move on in their life. Because I've had several callers about this, and I've had several people I've done readings on this, is they want to move on with their life. They own a house, let's just say. You know, they're not wealthy. Most of the people that I've talked to weren't wealthy. And they have someone living in their home, like a parent, an aging parent or something. And they're like, well, how do I move on? How do I sell my house? How do I live my life with this person who is, you know, living here? I mean, what do I do? And I always say to them, this is when you ask Spirit to give you solutions. And we'll write down some of the solutions that you can do. But sometimes it is easier to find, go ahead and put your house on the market and find another place for that parent that, you know, that they're safe in, that they still can be visited in. But that constant, constant battle is not going on. And sometimes those constant battles are letting you know that, hey, there's, you know, that you're not honoring your own boundaries. You're not honoring your own path. You're living your parents' path. And as much as we love our parents, or at least we say we do, we have to remember that when a person gets older, and I've not been there this life, but when a person gets older, they don't want to lose control of their life. They don't want to lose love. They don't want to lose, that feeling that they're the most important person. So what happens is they start to use control mechanisms, talking too loud, turning their TV up, even though that they could have gotten, you know, could get earphones, anything to get attention from the family, even if it's negative attention, something to say, hey, I'm still here. It's very sad. But what it happens is it starts to destroy families. I mean, and it's not good. I came from a very dear friend of mine, and if she's listening tonight, you know, I've told her this. I went to see her at Thanksgiving, and her a family member, her mother lives with her down on the lower section, a beautiful home. It's quite lovely. Anybody would be proud to live in a home like that, even though it's in the 3, 4, 5 levels of this house. And the people could not breathe in the house. Everybody was, you know, it was so hot. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, the house is so hot. What's going on? And she says, well, you know, my mother has to have it hot. And I'm like, well, you know, that's fine. But what about all the other people? Don't they matter? What about you? Do you matter? You're paying the bills. Do you not matter? And of course, she's helping with the bills, the mother. But I feel like that there is that we all have to have a balance. I don't think that we should freeze somebody out, but I don't think that if there are 15 other people there, that they should have to suffer. There are other remedies: getting a small heater and putting it by that person's feet, but not having to heat the whole house up. And I think that there are times in our lives where we have to move on with forgiveness about not just other people, but ourselves, because otherwise it stops us from being true to who we are and being ourself. And I would love to hear people's discussions on this. I would so honor you calling in, letting me know what your thoughts are, how you have dealt with forgiveness or how you haven't dealt with forgiveness. And so many times that we, you know, most of the times that the experiences that I have encountered and talked with and experienced personally have more to do with our parents, because we tend to blame them for everything that, you know, bad happened in our lives. So we have a hard time forgiving them. And I feel that it's a very phenomenal, because we don't typically have problems or issues with our children. I think that's a fascination that now, I guess, you know, that I'm sure there are people that would say that's not true. I guess the people that I have talked to and I have experienced with, probably because of law of attracts law in my life, that, you know, it's mainly been with the mother or the father or a sister or a brother, someone who has hurt them a lot. And it's just interesting, because so many times I would think that I had forgiven myself or someone that I was working on in my life, and things were going absolutely smoothly. And I was like, oh, thankfully, Victoria, you have done it. You have finally done it. And then, pow, something happens. Excuse me. And someone would do something that would trigger me. It's not about them, y'all. Remember that. It is not about them. But it's something would happen. And I would go back into something. And I've seen this many, many times with clients and people that I have worked with. And the truth is, you may have gone back into it or something, but I can promise you, your awareness level will be higher. You will get out of it much quicker. If you were, let's just say it upset you for 5 years before, then you got yourself down to a year. And now you're like, oh yeah, oh my gosh, you get mad for maybe an hour and you're back to normal again. That's progress. And those are the types of, experiences that are so incredible for you to know that you made progress. And it's, One of the issues that happened for me in Rohan was that, you know, you go through a, I'll talk a little bit about Rohan. Rohan is what I have my doctorate in, and I have a deep love for it. It is about forgiveness. In the first part of Rohan, you talk about being the victim. You know, what was done to me? What was done to me? And when that happens, it helps you to kind of clear out the edges, clear out the energies. And then after that, you have to look and see what you have done to yourself and what you have done to others. And that's when the true healing comes in, is because when you don't blame anybody else for what's happened in your life, now you can get upset. But I'm talking about blaming, you know, saying it was all your fault. Because, see, true understanding and deep understanding, now I say that very, very casually, but it's not really, you know, if you go in and beat up a pillow and say all those, I'm not sure what they call those seminars, but I have done them. That's why I don't remember the names of them. And even if I'm not saying they're bad, I'm saying they're good. But if you're going and you're beating up a pillow and you're fighting mad and you get all that anger out, that's good step, folks. That's good. Because all that anger that's sitting in there, if you don't get it out, that's where a lot of our diseases come from. I mean, you can pick up any book like Louise Hay, You Can Heal My Life. And I mean, there are books everywhere. I did my studies on that. Pythagoras, you know, you've got all your major masters taught that, that disease comes from the mental and emotional bodies of ourselves, our thoughts and our feelings that are in discord and non-forgiveness and out of love. So it's, you know, it's that upset that can last for a long time. But you know what? One of the greatest journeys that I have taken when I ever get upset or have any kind of issues with forgiveness or lacking in unconditional love, excuse me, just a second, excuse me, is that I take a walk. I go out into the woods. I go into a meditation. I go up the mountain. If you're in the city, you can get on a one of those indoor bikes, but move your body, clean your house, get something going to get the action going in your body. Don't just sit there. Now, meditation is still good. I mean, you can do that. But what you may feel before you can even get to a meditative state, you may feel that you have to exert a lot of energy. And I know when I get a situation, if it's raining or something and pouring down rain, and I have any kind of concern like that, I will just clean the house up. I mean, it'll look incredibly good. Because I needed to get that energy out. That is what saves our lives, y'all. Is, you know, and at the same time, you want to try to get some understanding about, no, wait a minute, who was this person that hurt me? What was I doing when I hurt that person? What was I doing when I hurt myself? And try to get some understanding about, well, wait a minute, you know, that typically comes from Rohan or other very intense therapies that are not just about getting the anger out. It's more about getting the anger out at an early stage. And when you, by the time you get to a Rohan therapist, you are pretty well ready to look deep, deep, deep down. Because, you know, we ascend, folks, as high as we can descend into our emotional and our mental thoughts and emotions and our feelings. When we can dig those up, look at them, own them, and say, send them to the light, then is when we can start ascending and going higher, taking responsibility for our lives and saying, wow, you know, I'm living in a situation right now that is not the best situation for me. What, how did I create that? What was my thought? What was my feeling attached to that thought that has created this situation? And that's when we start to acquire new beginnings. Sometimes I have thoughts about certain people in my life. I choose to keep those thoughts to myself because I know what, where they come from. So what I have to do is I have to go and take those thoughts and I have to send them to the light and say, you know, that doesn't serve me and it doesn't serve this situation. And when I can do that, then I'm like, oh, good. You know, Victoria, you know, that I own them. And that's what we all have to do. We have to own our own thoughts. And we have to say, ooh, that wasn't the best thing I ever did. Oh, wow, let me rethink that one. Let me send that one to the light. Now, why do I say to the light? because a lot of people in a lot of the training that I had in my earlier years was, you know, send it back to the person. If somebody sends you something negative, send it back to them. Well, you know, from my understanding and from my belief, that's almost creating a circle of abuse, because you're like, this person hurt you. Now you're going to hurt them, and you're going to send this energy back to them. And I'm like, wait a minute. Where does that cycle go? That's not helping this planet. That's not helping the other person. That's not helping you. And you may say, well, I don't want to help the other person. But, you know, you really do, in truth, because if you don't, then they keep hurting other people. So the more light we can put on a situation, the better it will heal, not for just us, but for all those people around us, all those circumstances. You know, I saw a lady today. I was in court, and she lost her children. Well, it was only one child, and she couldn't breathe. And I sat there, and a lot of people were holding her and hugging her, and that's needed, too. I understand that. I sent her so much light and healing, and I, you know, what she does with it is, you know, what she does with it. Yeah, that was the greatest gift, that I didn't spend time with her. I just sat off in the distance and was sending light and love to her, because I know that she was in pain. I know what it was best for the child, but that doesn't mean that mother did not love that child. That doesn't mean that that mother didn't have circumstances that she needed to heal, and that one day, this life or next, she will have to address what happened here, the abandonment of her child. Why did she do that? You know, what happened in her life that caused her to abandon that child? And so it was, you know, it was profound watching it, because it goes to show you what our emotions do to our bodies. I mean, she literally, I was very concerned about her breathing. I don't know if they called the ambulance or not, but they were all taking care of her, and she was starting to breathe better. So, but I want to just let you know that forgiveness, it's the key to life. It's something you work on all of your life. And, you know, when we feel that, like, oh, wow, it doesn't, you know, some folks listening tonight may say, well, shoot, why do I even bother to start if I have to work on it all my life? I guess what I mean is that there are layers of it. You know, if a parent has died, or someone in your life that hurt you has died, that does not necessarily mean that that is going to go away. In other words, just because someone has passed away doesn't mean that we don't have to forgive them. I had a very traumatic experience with my father, and he passed away years ago, and I still had to do therapy and Yandi to release the anger and the upset with him, and he's been gone for 20 years. So it lets you know that, you know, regardless of that type of situation, you still have to forgive. And it reminds me of a quote by Brian McGill that says, there's no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. Well, I mean, if you don't feel like you can love someone, then it seems hard to forgive them. And my only solution for that has been to look at the love for myself. I mean, it really isn't about the person you're forgiving. It's about the love for yourself and your own survival. So let's say that you're in a situation, and we talked about it earlier, and you have someone in your home that you really are having trouble with, because for whatever reason, you know, let's don't judge ourselves or judge them. Let's just say there's a difficulty there. Well, you know, it may be that you have to move in two separate houses. It may be that you have to sell the house. It may be that economically it may be tight, but it may be the key to your survival to let go of those old patterns of feeling like you have to take care of somebody, that if you don't, they're, you know, you're going to look like a bad person, or someone's going to criticize you, or someone's going to say something unkind about you because you didn't do a certain thing a certain way, and you didn't behave in a certain way. And y'all, that's imprisoning. I mean, that is the most imprisoning viewpoint, that when you feel like that, that you're in prison. And it is like, for me, forgiveness is, it's like you're finding out that you're you've been in prison when you can't forgive, when you're holding resentment towards somebody. But yet when you find it out, the person that was in prison is yourself, and you release them. You're not releasing the other person. It isn't about that. But, you know, one thing that I thought was very interesting, I wonder what it would be like, and I've talked to clients like this, who to have to live with a person or a parent who has, or let me restate that, to live with the person who has hurt your child. I mean, what if you found out your husband, the man you were married to now, abused your child, or your child, your daughter, your son? You didn't know it at the time, but you've spent 20 years being married to him. I mean, how do you deal with something like that? How does your daughter forgive him? I mean, first, it takes years of learning how it all began, what prompted this type of soul contract. But that's like that's down the road. I mean, that's just way down the road. And what now can be done to heal as best you can? I mean, most people would just split up, divorce the man, divorce, you know, the situation, and, you know, go find some safety, and find out what happened, and, you know, bring back the trust back into their to themselves, because more than likely you're going to beat yourself up for like, why didn't I see that? And what is so interesting, y'all, is that, you know, as y'all know, I'm an attorney, and so many times when a child in a household has been abused, the mother doesn't know, the father doesn't know. I'm not going to put gender here on here, but one of the parents does not know. Because usually an abuser is very covert. They don't tell you. They have their ways of showing themselves kind in front. I've done many years and hours of study on this. And then, you know, what happens is that they are in the law many times accused also, because they did not have the awareness to know. And so many times I've heard in court, well, he should have known. And I'm like, well, yeah, true, but not true. I mean, certainly if you see a child being abused, if you hear a child being abused, then that is definitely not acceptable. That's just not acceptable. And you need to separate. You got to separate at that point. So, you know, I at that point, you got to separate. But I want to take Pat's call from Connecticut. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, you know, I could comment on so many different things, all the things that you're talking about. As far as forgiveness, I can say the most recent thing I discovered. I had a Christmas reunion. I do have a question for you, but I had a Christmas reunion, first time in years and years, and I ended up just rageful. And I just bit my tongue and prayed for the right words. And as much as I felt like I had every right to end this relationship forever, mm-hmm. I didn't. And it's amazing how blind you can get thinking you have every right to be indignant or enraged or end a relationship. And when I spoke asking for help, and when I said the right words, my sister said, I'm genuinely sorry. I was completely unconscious of it. And it was hard for me to believe that. But I said, you know, it's hard for me to believe that, but I do believe you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, I almost destroyed a relationship. And I also saw how sick it made me for the first time in my life. I thought I was getting some heart problems. And it even stayed for a few days after I spoke with her, but it let up. And I think it was all about this. I'm really amazed.
Yeah, you're right. It was, because the heart holds all that pain, and if we don't heal it, and I say heal, Pat, let it out. You know, that doesn't mean we have to go, you know, hurt other people. You know what I mean by that. I know that you understand that. But we have to let it out some way, and then we have to get some understanding. It sounds like with your situation, there's, you know, you're lucky, Pat, because a lot of times people don't want to come forward and say, you know what, you know, I really wish I hadn't have done that. I mean, that's hard for a lot of people, because they... You know, but it sounds like that you did a great job. And I want to make one comment about that, too, because do you know that when you know, do you know how you know when you've started to forgive somebody? Do you know actually know how that, how you know?
Well, you mentioned if you see them again and you get rageful, but other than that, yeah. I don't know.
Well, what happens, though, but even if you, when you start to truly forgive, the biggest sign that you know it's real and it's not just words, you know what I mean by that? It's not just, oh, yeah, I forgive you. Is when you can start to send them. Doesn't mean you have to be close friends. It doesn't mean you have to go out to dinner. Doesn't mean you have to live with them. But when you can start to send them light and wish them well, then you know that you truly have, you're on the journey of forgiveness. And that is the biggest love connection when you can do that. And I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. I mean, like when you know, whoever you're talking about, when you think about them, if something, you know, pops up and you send them love, wow, you should just, you know, pat yourself on the heart and say, wow, because that's true forgiveness. That's true forgiveness. When they don't even know that. See, they don't even know you're doing that. You're doing it out of the kindness of your heart.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So were you, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted to ask you if you had anything to say to me. Do I need to ask a specific question?
I mean, if you have a specific question, I can tell you what I feel, and I can also pull some cards for you. So, yeah, ask a specific question. It would be
okay. I'd
be
like
good.
To see if anyone that's passed has any messages for me.
Anyone from your past?
No, that has passed on.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. okay. There is a. Well, they're interesting. There are two people that I feel. One lady has short hair. She has grayish hair. She has these beads around her neck. I don't know what the significance of that is for you, but she has these. It looks like little white beads, and she's playing with them. They're little white round beads around her neck, and she tells you that she loves you. She feels like an aunt or a grandmother, great aunt or someone. She feels like a. Go ahead.
I think it's my grandmother, Nana.
Yeah, yeah. And she, did she wear beads, Pat? What is this around her neck? What is this?
Pearls all the time, pearls.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. They're a little round, and they were white. They're a little round, and she just has them on there. And she's, did she give them to you? Do you know happened to those? She's trying to tell me. She wants to know what happened to them. But she just find out what happened to them, because she it's almost like she wanted you to have them. But she tells you that she loves you. She also is telling you that there's a situation in your life that with your family that she is sending a lot of healing to. And I feel like it has to do with your mother. But at the same time, it's interesting because I see children, and I see her holding people's hands. She's trying to bring a family together here. There's something in this family she's bringing together, and she's doing it on the other side. She just says to welcome her. She's asking you about these pearls. She wants to know why you don't have them. I think that's what she's asking me, why you don't have them.
Wow.
So, you know, just don't, you know, it's not a big deal, she says, but she says that she loved them very much, but she's asking, that's the first thing she showed me with these pearls. I just saw round, you know, round circles, but now there's somebody else behind her though. There is a male. And he is in darker clothes. I'm not saying he's connected to her, but he seems to be standing behind her. And he's telling me to tell you that there are many, many journeys after you cross over, and to welcome it. It is not something people should be afraid of. He says he doesn't. Oh, I know what it is. He was not a believer. It feels like whoever this man is was not necessarily a believer, Pat, in the afterlife or in spiritualness. And he's letting you know that it does exist and that he is a true believer now. I hope you have significance on who that is.
Is it my grandfather, Dog?
Well, but he's standing behind your grandmother. I don't even know if there's a connection, but he's just telling me. And what was his name? And I'll ask him. I'm sorry, what was his name?
Lauren?
Oh, yeah, Don? Not Lauren. It wasn't Lauren. It was Warren. Was it Warren? He says, yes. Yes, he says he has great understanding now that he didn't have when he was on Earth. And he said he made a lot of mistakes on Earth that he's not sorry about now because he's on the other side. He's learning. But he says that people should be he's sharing this with you, and I feel like you already know this. But I think he wants you to really, really validate what you know, that you what we're doing right now, he's saying this to you, what we're doing right now is beautiful work. And it helps us when we get over on the other side. And he says that he comes to you on your shoulders from your back, around your shoulder area. And he says mm-hmm. you usually feel a warmth. He says he's not even sure that you're aware of it, but he wants you to feel. It's not that you're going to get hot, but he says there's a warmth. You know what he does? It's so sweet. It makes me cry. He puts his hands on your shoulder. That's what he does. He comforts you. He just, it's a male energy that he says that is good for you, and he comforts you. And your Nana comes to you through your family. She's like, she does a lot of energy work for y'all. And so they're kind of on the same level. I mean, they seem like they're in the same dimension. Pat, I don't know what's the...
Is this Da, my grandfather?
I know he's your grandfather. I don't know his name. I just know he's your grandfather because he puts his hands on your shoulders. And
when years ago, when I had a reading, he came through. It may have been my very first reading, and it was unbelievable. He pleaded for me to tell my grandmother, who is still living, that it is far, far, far more beautiful than he ever imagined.
Well, that's who it is. That's who it is because it's the same message. It's the same message saying the spirituality. But why is he standing behind her? There's a connection there then, because there's a man standing behind your grandmother that has the round, what you call them pearls, the round necklace on. So whoever that is behind her, they're standing. He's right behind her.
That's her husband.
Okay, well, then that's who has come in tonight then. Okay, that's who it is. And he's just wants you to know that they're learning so much, and it is so beautiful what he's learning. And he didn't know all this when he was on in a body. But he says when he comes back again, he's bringing it in.
Oh, neat.
He says, I'll tell you where I feel they are, is I feel like they're on the – about the fifth dimension up there, where they're kind of in their a stage of where they're learning a lot, but they're staying together. That's what was so interesting when I saw these two people together. I didn't know the significance at the time, Pat, but now I do. They were staying there together. So, you know, they must have had a tremendous love between them. And even if they didn't, they do now. I can tell you right now, they do now. So
they did. Can I ask you about my grandmother? It's interesting that she's doing energy work with the family because I feel she is treated so poorly with such disrespect. She had severe anxiety, and she was never comforted, never comforted.
Okay, but that's why she's learning it now. Do you see? That's why she's bringing it in now. She's learning to help others. It's a learning that she's having to learn. Are you saying that she was never comforted or she was never comforting? Tell me
no,
what you.
No, she was never comforted in all her suffering of anxiety, and I feel so bad. I feel guilty myself.
Well, but listen, Pat. Let me tell you what she's doing here, and then now it even has more significance of why she's doing this. She's sending love down to all those people that didn't acknowledge her. What a powerful lady! Do you realize
that's
the
really
spiritual?
Amazing.
That's the healing that she's doing for herself and for y'all. So, you know, accept it, and, you know, that's really significant now that you've told me that, because all she's doing up there is, I keep seeing her bringing her hands together and bringing love together in this family, And I didn't realize what the significance was about it, but you've just, you know, you would understand. And she is, it's unconditional love. There is no judgment here. And she doesn't want
wow.
you to feel bad. She wants to bring love here. She wants you to know that she loves you. And you know, interesting that we're talking about forgiveness. What I would do with her, and she's saying this, is just between you and her tonight, Pat, just go and connect with her. She'll be with you tonight, okay?
Okay.
She's right there.
Okay.
She's right there in your heart. She had her, actually, you're going to feel her on your left hand. I mean, she's holding my left hand right now. And tell her that that you need her forgiveness and that you just pour your heart out to her. Pat, cry, do whatever you need to do. Communicate with her as if you were talking to me. And she will bring you so much comfort tonight that you will, the forgiveness will occur tonight. I feel it. Because y'all are connecting, and she's going to be with you when you get off the phone. So I don't know what you're doing right now, but as soon as you have that space where you are just between you and her, I want you to go into a very deep forgiveness, okay?
Thank you so much.
It's going to be a profound evening for you. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. Well, bless you for calling in, and thank you for calling into the Ask Spirit Now show. And I really wish you would go to AskSpiritNow.com, which is my website, and let me know down you know next week or two how things went. Okay, I would
Absolutely.
Love to.
Absolutely, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pat. Good night.
Blessing. Bye bye.
Bye bye. It's interesting that when we have those of our loved ones, regardless of whether they're friends or family, when they have crossed over, we can go through the forgiveness, y'all, just as if they were with us. Because our crossed over are guardian angels now. And it is interesting that they are come to comfort us at all times. Sometimes when we have not gotten along with someone, when my sister passed away from cancer in 2002, she turned against me. I was the one that she turned against. But as soon as she passed on, the moment that she crossed over, she came to me and she told me what she was doing, how beautiful it was, how there was no judgment over there. She said, she called me Vicky. She said, Vicky, the only judgment is the judgment that we put on ourselves. There's nobody here to judge us. And she says, as spiritual as I have been on planet Earth, Vicky, she said, if I had known this, I would have left earlier. But she said, I was afraid, but she says, not anymore. And that touched my life forever because I realized it's the judgments we put on ourselves that she shared with me. The religions teach us that God judges us. God judges us. He's a wrathful God. And that's not what I haven't learned that. I've never experienced that. And I didn't learn that from my sister who crossed over. So it's very interesting. And I just want to remind everyone that I'm on my AskSpiritNow.com website. This month, I'm offering a past life regression with a mini reading. And you don't have to have it. You can just have the past life regression. But I like to do a little counseling afterwards. But I'm doing soul contracts with it. My past lives are very different than just, you know, that you were a guru or a shaman or a queen. I really get into the soul contract of what was your soul contract, that life? Why are we looking at it now? What you didn't complete in that soul contract? And at that point in time, I have had profound experiences. I did these myself. I had someone that does them with me. We have done, I don't know, 10 at this point, once a week. And my life is changing. And I know that they work because I've done 10 or so on her, and, you know, she's done that many on me. And we've done many, many more past lives. But these are specific to soul contracts because sometimes we come back to complete a soul contract, and it's always nice to know what you didn't complete of it and what you did and what you can handle this life. And it's been a profound experience for both of us to go through this. So I want to remind you that that's on the my web for not just for this month. I mean, it's on there. I'm going to keep it on there because that's what I love to do. And it does make a big difference. And I just want to remind everyone how deeply I appreciate each and every one of you. I know a lot of you don't call in, and I know that you are listening, and I just want to thank you for listening to the Ask Spirit Now show. I hope that I help you. My purpose in this life is to help people, to self-empower them. I can't do it for you, but I can share my experiences and I can share some of my life that I have gone through, which, you know, none of us have had easy lives. Well, maybe some have, but mine certainly wasn't. And it's in those understandings that we find our gifts. And when we can share those gifts with others, that's when we truly can find that we've had an incredible purpose. And you know, it's an incredible gift for all of us to be able to do that for each other. And so I just want to thank you from the very bottom of my heart for listening to the Ask Spirit Now show and just knowing that you're deeply appreciated. We will be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. Always remember to ask Spirit Now. Good night.